Thank you. This is, for some, this is a great day to celebrate, but for others, it's a challenging day. I myself am a little challenged. It's hard. I just told somebody, I said, it's a little bit hard to be celebrated when your mom isn't here to celebrate. So, and I know that I'm not the only one who comes in with that. Some of you here would desperately like to be a mama, and you've had issues with infertility, or maybe you're not even married yet, but you really want to be a mom. And some of you have lost your mom, some of you have lost your children. Some of you are coming here with broken hearts, with separated relationships, or maybe your mom is still living and she doesn't act like what you think a mom needs to act like. And I just want to acknowledge you first and say, Jesus can be all that you're lacking. And so if you today, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask, you don't have to tell anybody why, but if you want to stand up, I would just love to pray with you. Anybody here who's having a hard time today or just like extra, anybody? Thanks for your honesty. If you could just look around and put your hand on somebody's shoulder. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted. And I thank you that these beautiful ones do not walk alone. God, would you bring comfort to these dear ones as only you can? Would you heal and restore broken hearts and broken relationships? Would you heal bodies and create new life? Would you remove all fear and regret and restore hope? Would you breathe new life? Thank you, God, for your love and that we can trust you with our lives, with everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I would love for all the mamas to stand. If you're a mom, would you please stand so we can honor you? Woo-hoo! Actually, keep standing, ladies, because we're going to pray for you. I just thank you for your selfless love, for your, you are tireless warriors, for your patience, for your selflessness and forgiving. And if you are a child that belongs to that mama, or if you're just standing next to them, would you please put your hand on their back or their shoulder? Just want to pray a blessing. Oh, y'all. Okay, all right. Okay. God, thank you for these women who have given and give so much. Bless all of them to know that you chose her specifically to be the mother for her children. Bless the pregnant mamas with physical strength and a healthy pregnancy. Bless them to have peace, patience, and faith that conquers every fear. Bless the brand new mamas with supernatural knowledge and wisdom. Bless them with physical strength and eyes to see their little ones as you do. Bless the mamas with children still at home with that same supernatural knowledge and strength. Bless them with eyes in the back of their head, dear God. Bless them with grace for the kiddos and grace for themselves. Bless them with everything they need to shape souls for the kingdom. Bless the mamas of adult children with humility and grace. Bless them with creative ways to keep connected to their children. Bless all the moms not to live in the past or with regrets. Bless them with an increased trust in your care and keeping of their precious ones, no matter what age their children are. Bless them with joy and peace in whatever season of their motherhood. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, I'm going to be all right now. My girls, you just stay right there. All right, so this morning I want to talk about the best gift. And I'm not necessarily talking about Mother's Day gifts, but it is the best gift to me. A couple couple years ago, Harold and I started hosting a young couples group at our home. And so we would meet once a week, and sometimes we'd just hang out and have fun, and sometimes we would study the Word, and sometimes we'd do topical studies. We went through FPU. And so last fall, one of the couples said, "Hey, let's study the book of Romans." And I was like, "Okay." So we decided we would read a chapter, and we would all come together, and there was one facilitator, but we were all bringing what it was that God had spoken to our hearts. And so I started reading the book of Romans. Now, for me, when I do my study, I use this, a keyword study Bible. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it is awesome. It is, it's in a couple different versions. This one is New American Standard. And in it, it has the original. So for instance, the New Testament was mostly written in Greek originally. And in the New Testament, it has words that are underlined. And then that links to a mini concordance in the back. So you can see the fullness of what that word actually meant. So this is where I started my study. And I started with the summary of the book of Romans. And so they said, "Well, the theme is how God justifies the sinner." And I was like, "Justifies. I've heard that word before. Yeah. But let me look it up. I like definitions. I really want to know." That's the teacher in me, I guess. And so the definition of this word was dikaio. There it is. And this is what it said: to justify, to render innocent, set free, to declare to be righteous, to absolve, acquit, clear from any charge, to declare to be just as one should be, to approve, honor, glorify, to pardon, to supply with grace, to make acceptable, to loose, let go, forgive, to set at liberty, to rescue. Oh my goodness. That one little word meant all those things. I'm sure I didn't scream, but inside, I was jumping up and down. I was like, this already happened for me. I have already been justified, rendered innocent. I have been set free, declared to be righteous, to be absolved. I was acquitted and cleared from any charge. I was declared to be just as I should be. I was approved, I was honored, I was glorified, I was pardoned, I was supplied with grace. I was made acceptable. I was set free, I was let go, forgiven, set at liberty, and rescued. That, I could just leave now, because that's enough. But what that did in my heart was, it just set me free. When I came to the Lord, I was 12 years old, and it was during a movie from the Billy Graham Association, and I recognized what sin was, and I thought, I don't ever want to disappoint God or my family. And so all my life, I've been working from that point of view. And in that moment when I read that, I thought, wait, I don't have to earn the grace. It's already given to me. I wouldn't say that I was working from a works base of if I do these kind things, then God will love me. I was trying to be deserving, which is still a works base because it's based on me. Grace is free. Grace has nothing to do with you. I don't have to work for it, earn it, or make myself worthy of it. And it's not like I've heard justified is just as if I hadn't sinned. But that would make me innocent. And I wasn't innocent. And I've also heard that God made me, justification could be considered God made me righteous. But then that would make me equal with him. And I'm not that either. He declared me to be righteous. He declared me to be innocent. And I'm free from all of that condemnation. And I was, God bless you, I was grateful. Like for my life, I think I had accepted his forgiveness for my sins. And that was, for me, enough. And I thought, thank you, God, that I don't have to spend an eternity in hell. But hearing that I was justified was like getting an inheritance early. It was like I didn't have to wait until I was X age old. It was like he said, no, this is for this life, not just the next one. That was awesome. So that week we were studying Romans 5. So I'm going to take a look at Romans 5 and just say, that justification, which is a long word, but what does it actually do? What is the benefit in our life? So Romans 1 and 2, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is from the New International Version. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, since we have been, it's a done deal, folks. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first benefit. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Justification gives us peace with God. So when we go about our lives and we are doing what we want to do, and we're not choosing to live like God wants us to do, it's like building a wall. Every sin is setting a brick in place. Now I'm going to pretend that these are real bricks, and I couldn't do anything to remove them unless I brought in a jackhammer, which I won't do. But what happens is that at some point, your sin completely separates you from God. And you can't see each other anymore. And you go through life totally separated. But when you say, Jesus, will you forgive me? He says, yes. Now I'll say, God's forgiveness has no expiration. That doesn't matter. And there's a scripture that says, if you confess your sins, he will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's nothing left on the table. All right, so peace, that peace that we have, how incredible is that? I can have peace because I'm not working from a point of guilt. I'm working from a point of innocence because he declared me that way because I asked him. There's no wall that separates us. And we boast in the hope, the expectation, or the confidence of the glory of God. His honor, his praise, his recognition. Now, when I do my Bible study, I put it in my own words, not because I think that my words are equal to theirs, but it helps me to understand it. So this is the Joy More version, but you will not find it at Lifeway anytime soon. And so this verse, taking the Greek meanings, means through Jesus and his death that justifies us because of our faith, we have been led to a saving grace, a grace that brings a peace that we stand on and remain on, not one that we pass through. And we are anticipating with pleasure the day that he will be made famous because of our lives. Amen. Next one, justification grows our character. Verses 3 and 4, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. The word character in the Greek is dokime, which is trustiness, experience, the state of having been tried, uprightness, approved integrity. Integrity is really who you are when nobody's looking. And that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for you to be perfect. He's not looking for you to have it all together. He's looking for men and women who have been tried by the experiences of life and found to be persevering in their faith. They carry God's seal of approved integrity. I remember just a little bit, but I've heard about the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. And that is, they would take lots of vacuum cleaners, and they would put them through tests, and at the end, they would come up with one, not that was the perfect one, but it had their seal of approval. It worked the best. They would approve of this purchase. And I feel like that is who we are when we persevere. God has given his seal of approval, not because we are the best or the only, but he said, you have persevered, and you have been faithful. Over and over, God has chosen men and women who were not, who had already miserably failed, let's put it that way, and he chose them for great things. Moses became the leader of more than 1 million Israelites after he murdered a man. David became king of Israel after he seduced Bathsheba. Peter became an evangelist and a pillar in the early church after he denied Jesus 3 times. Saul, who became Paul, started churches and wrote a significant portion of what is today our scriptures after he imprisoned many followers of Christ. These men embraced God's forgiveness and were justified, set free, rendered innocent, which gave them a fresh start and moved them into their destinies. My version, we are grateful for our difficulties. I'm not always grateful, I'll tell you that. But we are grateful for our difficulties that lead us to persevere. When we persevere, our character is tested and approved by God. And when we're upright, it leads us to hope in our salvation, which is the next benefit. Justification leads us to hope in our salvation. This is still chapter 5, verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There are so many people walking around hopeless, and I would say even believers who feel hopeless. And the Word of God says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I think God understood the power of hope. And so he sent Jesus to restore our hope. Sometimes we stay on this side of the cross, and we look and we focus on how terrible we are and how much Jesus sacrificed. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to think about, because certainly we should be grateful. We should know our place. But we forget what happened on this side. Because that, if we live only focused on what we've done wrong, we miss the resurrection. We miss the power and the victory that came after that. Because truly, if Jesus was only born at Christmas time and we celebrate, that's wonderful. But it was his death, the death of a sinless man, and his miraculous resurrection that truly makes the difference in our lives. And so I say, the cross is empty. It's not the end of the story. His resurrection gives us hope. It gives us victory. I'm going to put this verse with some of the meanings in. And hope, the anticipation, expectation, confidence doesn't disappoint us, because God has poured out his love, his agape love, his affectionate regard, his benevolence to us. He's poured that into our hearts, our cardia, the seed of our desires, our affections, our passions, by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. My version, the hope of salvation doesn't disappoint us. The hope that our salvation will change us isn't futile, because the Holy Spirit has filled the center of our emotional selves with the goodness of God. No matter how hopeless our situation appears, our hope in God does not disappoint us. Not hope that things will work out the way we want or the way we think, but the hope that believes that God is working out everything. Can you say everything? Everything. Thank you. For our best, whether or not we can see it or understand it. For me, I had to see this kind of as a mama. When I see my kids and I think, I wanna bless them. I wanna do this for them. I wanna give them this gift, whatever it might be. God bless you. And I think that's the way God looks at us. He's not looking at, well, I'm not sure if she had her quiet time today, so that one's off the table. But sometimes we act like that. We think that we have to do something for God's favor or his grace. He loves you. Nothing can change that love for you. That doesn't determine your future. Your future is only determined by your choice of faith in Jesus Christ. But his love for you doesn't change. Hold on to that hope of your salvation. So we have justification gives us peace with God. It grows our character. It leads to our hope in salvation. Justification, verse 6, it sets an example of love. You see, at just the right time, that word there is kairos, which is the set or proper time or season. Brad preached about that earlier this year. When we were still powerless, we were strengthless and feeble and weak and morally wretched, Christ died, and that word means to be put to death violently. He died for the ungodly, irreverent, wicked, sinful, profane, God-hater. Somehow we feel that our sin is too ugly, too surprising for God to forgive or for Jesus to accept us. But truly, he knew it all full well before he made his choice. Our ugly didn't and doesn't deter him from loving us without strings attached. God's warranty of forgiveness never expires, no matter how long ago you committed that sin. He is faithful. He will forgive us. Verse 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, an innocent, holy, just man. Though for a good man, profitable or useful, someone might possibly dare to die. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us. He presides, stands before in rank. He says, let me be the first. While we were still sinners, sinful, ungodly believers who had missed the mark, and we could definitely be blamed, Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, the Redeemer, died for us. That word demonstrates is a pretty powerful word. It is proistemi, which is implied in the Greek. It means demonstrates. God stood before us in rank. But what he says is, it's as if he said, follow my example. This is how you love people. You give it all. If they have hurt you, if they hate you, you give it all. If you don't feel like it, you give it all. If they don't deserve it, you give it all. This is something I feel like we do pretty well at Harvest. Our vision is open arms, healed hearts, radically transformed lives. And if you look around in this room, take a look at all you beautiful people. Look around at who's here. It's a wonderful thing because a lot of you in here walked in broken in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it didn't look like it on the outside. But there were people here who loved you back to Jesus, or loved you not even back to Jesus, but just loved you to him to say, he's the one who can heal. There are a lot of people who came in here, didn't feel like they belonged anywhere, and yet they found a family and a home here. Harvest, let's always be that. I've talked with different people, and just even one recently this week. There was a young woman I talked with. She doesn't go to church here, and I don't think anybody would know her, but I was talking with her about church, and she said, she wasn't sure she wanted to go to her mom's church because you had to be pretty perfect to walk in the door. And I thought, wow, we'd have a really small congregation. I wouldn't be here. And so I'm grateful. I started telling her about our church, and I said, yeah, there are people in here that used to be addicted to drugs and alcohol, but they're not anymore. And there are people who had other kinds of addictions, and they're still here, but they don't have the addiction anymore. And there are people who felt pretty lonely and hardly even said much and were carrying around a lot of grief, and now they have a smile on their face. And she said, wow, that's really awesome. That shouldn't be really awesome. That should just be normal. That's Jesus. That's what he does. So my version is, God set an example for us to follow and showed his love toward us in that while we were still ungodly believers who were to blame, the Messiah, our anointed Redeemer, died for us. Praise God. Justification gives us peace with God. Justification grows our character. Justification leads us to hope in our salvation. Justification sets an example of love. And my last one is, it sets us free today and forever. Verse 9, since we have now been justified, it's already happened, rendered innocent, free, absolved, acquitted, declared righteous by his blood, the blood he shed on the cross as a payment for our sins, how much more shall we be saved? That word means delivered, protected, healed, preserved from God's wrath, from his violent passion anger, vengeance, and divine judgment through him, that's Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that one more time, but since we have now been, that's past tense. We have now been justified. It's already happened by his blood. How much more shall we be? That's future tense. What was done there is that work is still happening in our lives. How much more shall we be saved? That word is sozo. Some of you are familiar with that word. We have a ministry here, sozo ministry. It means saved, delivered, protected, healed, preserved, to be whole. Specifically of salvation and eternal death, sin and the punishment and misery consequent to sin. Sometimes we get stuck in that misery consequent to sin, but God says, no, I want you to be whole. That's his heart. That's his passion for us to be free. That, to me, is the best gift. By his blood, we have been set at liberty, and we're no longer subject to condemnation from anyone or from ourselves. Through Jesus Christ, we will be delivered, protected, and preserved from God's divine judgment. Galatians 5:1 said, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. His death on the cross wasn't just to heal our bodies, and it wasn't just to give us eternal life. He wanted more than that. So let me just show you. This is the gift of eternal life. This is the gift that I thought I had. And this year in my life, God has said, this is a year of freedom for you. I've shared this with a few ladies, and beginning of the year, I thought, my goodness, I'm 51 years old, and I'm just now going to be free? How did I miss that? And one by one, God has set me free with the lies that I have believed. And he said, this is what you believe about your circumstances. You believe that you're not going to have enough money in your bank account. But when have you ever needed something and I didn't come through? So I changed my way of thinking. The money is still there. It didn't change. But now the worry did. So I don't have to carry that. Or there was another lie I believed about my family and what my role was in the family. And God said, no, this is the truth. Now, in that moment, I didn't necessarily believe that was the truth, but I did believe God. So I said, okay, God, that's the truth. I'll take that. And that has transformed my relationships with my family. He continues to give me truths that have set me free from the lies. But the key to that was actually grace. Funny thing. Grace, like I was saying, grace is free. And I didn't have much grace with myself. On the inside, I was thinking of what I should have done, what I could have done, what I didn't do. Those were the things that played. They were the patterns of thinking. I can still smile on the outside, but on the inside, I didn't like me. I think I mentioned earlier this year that probably 90% of my thoughts about me were negative. That's not healthy, and that's not God. But I hadn't accepted his grace. It was there, just like this. But I was like, well, I don't really deserve that. And I said, but it's yours. God said, it's yours. I want you to have it. Just like if I handed a gift to my child and they said, I don't deserve that. No, I would want them to have it. And when I opened the grace, I found peace. And when I opened the piece, I found the hope of my salvation. And when I opened that, I found the next point, and I can't remember what it is, but it's on there. Justification. Hold on. I found that my character had grown and I was becoming more like him. And then I found freedom. If I had never accepted the grace, I would have never gotten my freedom. And so today, he wants you to be free from guilt, free from regret, free from self-condemnation, free from shame, free from anxiety and fear, free from selfishness and pride, free from anger and the desire for revenge, free from addiction and depression, free from any physical or emotional disease, free, totally free. That freedom is for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Now, some of you, you might say, well, I've not really ever done that before. And I'll say, well, today's a good day. It's not like a diet where you have to start on Monday. Today is a good day. If you've never had that moment where you said, God, I've been building a wall. I'm separated from you, and I need you to clear the table. I need you to forgive me. I need a second chance. I need your grace. I need to start again. And I choose to be wholly yours. I don't even know what that means, but I choose to be wholly yours. If that's you today, you can come talk to me. You could talk to probably anybody sitting in the seat. But if you look in front of you, there's a card, and it says believe. That card has information for you so that you can connect with somebody at Harvest who will love you, who will walk beside you. You can even take it with you. You can email. There's an email address on there, and you can email someone, and they will send you information. But if you want to believe today, then you get the best gift ever, freedom. And for those of you maybe who haven't, you feel like you've got the first box, but there's just so much more to go. I just want to pray and for the completeness of what God has done or will do. God, I thank you for, if that's you, if you want to put your hands out to receive God's free gift to you. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that you give good gifts to your children. Thank you that you are faithful and good. And God, today I thank you that you are giving my brothers and sisters a transformed mind so that they can think about who they are and about who you see them to be in the proper way. God, that you will set them free from lies that have held them down, held them back, held them captive. That you will allow them to embrace grace, that you would remove every barrier from them embracing that free gift of grace that you have given to them. God, let them open that box and receive it, to receive every blessing. God, would you heal bodies? Would you transform minds? Would you heal minds? God, would you set free from shame and regret, from anxiousness and worry that we sometimes call stress. But God, it is sin. You don't want us to worry. You want us to trust in you. God, would you right now blanket this place with trust that they would leave behind all the things that they think they have to figure out and work out, but they would trust you that you're going to do it better than they could do it anyway. God, would you set these people free from the fear of the future? What might happen, what could happen, God, would you let them embrace today? And would you give them a focus on your face, just as you've told me? You said, hold tightly to my hand and focus on me, focus on my face. God, let them, show them what that means to hold tightly to your hand, to not connect themselves with other things that become like gods that lead them into paths of unrighteousness. God, show them what it means to keep focused on you, what things they need to remove, what media they need to tone down, do away with, however they need to reorder their world to focus on you. And God, I ask for freedom, not just today, but freedom that will last. Freedom that they will have a day from today, tomorrow, next week, next year. That they will continually be in a place of saying, God, I want to be more free. I want to be aware of what blocks I might be setting up. We don't just ask for forgiveness once. God, we continually come to you and say, this I did today, please forgive me. I want to keep a clean table. I want to keep a clean slate. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, God, that you have, as you fill us up in this place, and we become a freedom zone, a zone of freedom. When people even step foot on this property, that they sense a difference. God, would you let us take that to our families? Would you let us take that to our friends, to our workplace, and to the ends of this earth? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Bless you all.